Good morning. Welcome to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Graddick, your host. Delighted to have you with us this morning. A beautiful Monday morning. We start another week as we roll on to the runoff election day, which is Tuesday, August 11th. We're honored to have in studio today Boyd Austin, candidate for State Senate 31. Good morning, Boyd.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Boyd L. Austin, Jr. is a lifelong resident of Paulding County and a seventh-generation Georgian. He's a graduate of Paulding County High School in 1980 and earned his Bachelor of Arts degree from the University of Georgia. Professionally, Boyd is the property manager of Home Place Communities Management Independent Senior Communities in Paulding County. Boyd served as mayor of Dallas from 1996 to 2020, to this year. Okay, that's just a paragraph intro.
Right.
And tell us a little bit more about yourself and what brought you to this point that you offered yourself as a candidate for State Senate District 31.
Well, as you said, I was the part-time mayor of Dallas for 24 years. And in that time, I've dealt with a number of legislative officials that represented our districts. And so I believe that the time has come that we need new and vigorous leadership for the 31st District. We've been without that for some time. And I know what it takes to have a partner as a local official to get things done. So when the opportunity arose, I had thought about it. I had looked at running for Congress previously and had a lot of people encourage me on that. But when the current senator announced his retirement in January, my phone began to ring. People said, you need to do this. So I thought about it, prayed about it, and worked with friends and been very excited about it. No looking back. I'm excited to run, and I'm excited to serve when the time comes.
Let me zero in on that, because you kind of referenced the the service of the current senator. How do you envision the role of a state senator? How, you know, you talk about lackluster, but what kind of, how do you see it? How do you see it as being vigorous and engaged?
Well, first of all, you need to be engaged in the community and to be a part of the activities and things that happen within the communities. There are so many issues that come up. There are so many programs that a state legislator can assist local governments with. Just a phone call sometimes helps push things along. And so that's what I would do. I have been honored to serve on the Georgia Environmental Finance Authority. I was appointed by Governor Perdue, reappointed by Governor Deal and Governor Kemp. That does most of our water and wastewater infrastructure funding in the state of Georgia. I've also was appointed by Governor Deal to serve on the Department of Community Affairs Board, and that's what handles all of the block grants that come through the state and federal government. Also, monitors local government's fiscal health, makes sure they're compliant with their long-term plans, and also the regional commissions. So being in the know and being engaged in those processes can help assist the governments in Harrelson, Polk, and Paulding counties to do the things they need to do.
As a mayor of Dallas, and as a mayor, kind of on the flip side of that, you don't really want too much state intrusion. I mean, local authority is the prime thing for our freedom, is it not?
Absolutely, and I've been a strong advocate for home rule for my entire tenure as mayor. But like I said, we need a partnership at the state and federal level. And if people are engaged and we know what's available and we have somebody that can help us with that, it's not an intrusion, it's a big assistance. It's not making decisions for us. And I tell people all the time, when the state says they're gonna cut funding here or whatever, they're usually pushing down that cost to the local government. So I stand for home rule, and I am against unfunded mandates. If they wanna do something, they need to pay for it.
Don't send us the bill. Do they push down much regulation on the cities?
There are a lot of regulations that come down. Thankfully, we've got vigorous associations that help fight for us in the General Assembly. But a lot of times, or one of the biggest problems, is that a lot of the members of the General Assembly have never served at the local level. Mm-hmm. And so they don't understand the processes that we go through, how our funds are raised, and the myriad ways. There are 538 cities in Georgia 159 counties, 181 school districts. And so everybody is unique in and amongst themselves. And so it's hard to push down a one-size-fits-all on local governments.
Well, let's segue with that comment. There's so many issues that we're not going to be able to get them to, but let's just start with A.
Okay.
Agriculture. Yeah, apparently, you've got some real deep roots, no pun intended,
right,
with agriculture. Thank you very much. I get an extra $5 for every pun I throw out there. Tell us about your connectivity to agriculture, family farms, et cetera, and your view of rural versus urban in Georgia currently.
Well, my family came here in the early 1800s on a land grant from my great-great-great-grandfather's service in the Revolutionary War. They were farmers all the way up until the 1960s. So I have that background. My daddy was grew gardens and farmed, and I've got a lot of cousins that still have poultry houses, and family runs has some timber and things like that. So I understand that part of the business. What I also see is that in the growth that we've experienced in Paulding County over the years, a lot of times as people come in, they try to push farmers out. So I've been a strong advocate for the right to farm laws that we've talked about in the state of Georgia. We vigorously defended the gate card, which allows farmers to take the sales tax off input items. I would like to do away with the $25 fee for that gate card. And I also think that it's important to teach agriculture in our school systems. And we see through this current pandemic that people are turning more back to the old ways of canning and buying and growing their own vegetables. And so I think that's going to be important in the future, is that people have that opportunity to see how that process works and to have those resources available.
Our guest this morning is Boyd Austin, candidate for State Senate District 31. We're on Facebook Live, News Talk 1330. So if you got any questions or comments, post them there, if you would, please. We'll be back with more after this.
At Oak Mountain Academy, our daily schedule includes convocation, prayer, and the Pledge of Allegiance. By doing so, we build a family-like community where all students grow and flourish and personal faith is encouraged. Through community service and a historical approach to biblical study, our students are taught the value of the warrior way, honesty, respect, and responsibility. Oak Mountain Academy, we are a family creating legacies. To learn more, visit oakmountain.us.
For more than 70 years, you have turned to Tanner Health System for your healthcare needs. As our community moves forward, Tanner is here for you. Strong, safe, and close to home. Routine medical appointments, urgent elective surgeries, and imaging are back on the calendar at our hospitals and Tanner Medical Group practices. With the safety of our patients, staff, and community always our top priority. Learn more at Tanner.org. Hashtag We Are Tanner Strong. That's Tanner.org. Hashtag We Are Tanner Strong.
Hola. Good morning. It's Community Voice. I'm Steve Graddick, your host. I'm glad to have you with us. Boyd Austin is candidate for State Senate District 31. More than half the state budget is spent on education. So tell us about how is this, give us a grade on how the state is doing with education. And then if you would, just your opinion, because a lot of your time as a state senator, if elected, will be focused on education.
Right. And as you said, the state budget, about 54% to 57% of the state budget is on K-12 education.
We're getting our money's worth. Let me ask it that way.
I don't know that we do a lot of times. I think that in the 80s when we had QBE, and we've had several iterations since then that have taken a look at how our school systems operate, I think we have improved. I praise the teachers that are in the classroom. I'm very honored to have the Educators First endorsement. I think there are some processes that we can take a look at, and particularly following this pandemic of seeing in-person and virtual learning and understanding where those disconnects may be, how we may move education into the 21st century. It's a very tough decision to make in times like this where the budget had to be cut. and thankfully there were no furloughs or cuts for teachers. I do support the finishing the pay raise that Governor Kemp promised the teachers when he ran for office, and we'll vote for that when the time comes. But I think we can always learn more from our systems and ourselves, and that this is a perfect opportunity in this crisis that we take a strong, hard look at the processes of education.
We hear, you know, it kind of wanes and comes back, but we hear often about school choice and allowing kids to pick the schools that they want to attend. Is that positive or negative?
Well, I think a lot of times there are misnomers about school choice. Some people see it as the school of choice within their district. And then, of course, I think what you're referring to is school choice between charter schools and private schools and money following those students. I don't see it as much of a problem in the 31st District. Polk, Paulding, and Harrelson and the city of Bremen have incredible school systems. Some of the things that I've seen are the reports from Harrelson on their improved graduation rates. They are very encouraging of what they are doing in these local systems. But there are places around the state that are failing the children of those areas. And we need to make sure that either there's some competition there that helps those systems to be better and to move forward, or that people have the opportunity to do something differently. And it's particularly evident across South and rural Georgia, where the systems are not doing very well.
Well, with that said, let me integrate the question about broadband. We've learned that broadband, high-speed connectivity is more important as students are sheltered or at home or online. Are you satisfied with the initiatives in the state to bring high-speed connectivity to all areas of the state?
Well, as a former president of GMA, Georgia Municipal Association, and an advocate for infrastructure, I've said time and time again, I think broadband is the interstate highway system of the 21st century. I was very fortunate to be invited to the Trump White House on four occasions to talk about infrastructure and reducing regulations. And one of the president's primary goals is to increase broadband across the country. In the state, we've done several studies and had commissions, and we've had to rely on federal data for a long time provided by the FCC. But finally in Georgia, we established our own study commission that will map exactly where the services are, because the federal data says if it's on one end of the street, then the whole street's served, and we know that's not true. And it's a shame that people have to drive their kids to a fast food restaurant or to a school parking lot for them to be able to do their work in a pandemic.
For the record, we love the FCC. Anyway, you, on your website, you say you're fiscally conservative. The state budget cut 10%. How do you view the budget today and the growth of the budget?
Well, you know, I took office in 1996, and there were 2,500 people in Dallas. There are 16,000 probably there today when the census count comes out. I established a policy of setting aside money for a rainy day fund, and it wasn't just a rainy day. It was a terrible crisis in 2008, 2009. And we saw our tax digest drop by 33%. We were able to manage that crisis by our strong policies in the past. We didn't have to furlough an employee or curtail an essential service during those years. And finally, within the last couple of years, we got back to the level we had been in 2008 on the value of that digest. I think there are some opportunities always within a budget to look at spending, to find newer and better ways to do things. And a lot of times a crisis like we've had provides that opportunity. And we've seen a lot of voluntary cuts among agencies. I'm not for cutting teachers and furloughing teachers. I'm not for cutting state troopers and GBI agents. Those are essential services in the state budget, and they would have had terrible cuts, particularly in law enforcement, if the 14% had held.
From what I see on the website, you're a strong supporter of law enforcement, national debate about defunding the police. Your thoughts on that?
I think it's the craziest thing I've ever heard. In my time as mayor, what we have done is we've grown our police department. We've helped provide better training, more officers, improve all of the systems and services, the technology that's there, the equipment that they use. Society can't last without police. And so this, I think this is all just a scam by the left-wing liberals to have things their way. But I strongly defend our law enforcement officers. In Dallas, we've had some protests over the last few weeks, and our folks haven't had a day off for some time. And so I understand their problems and their issues, and I strongly support all of our law enforcement officers. I'm proud to have the endorsement of the Dallas Police Chief, of the Paulding County Sheriff, and of the Harrelson County Sheriff. And I think that speaks volumes about support for law enforcement officers.
Before we go to our next break, you're uniquely qualified, I would think. You know, those of us in Harrelson, Polk, and even Carroll County, and I talk about it a lot, urban sprawl.
Right.
And there you are, the mayor of Dallas. So how, you know, two-thirds of all Georgians or the Georgia population growth since 2010 has been in metro Atlanta, which
right.
includes Paulding. So how, we talked about agriculture at the beginning, how do we keep rural Georgia rural and keep metro Atlanta, or can you?
You know, they tell us, I've been hearing for years that eventually that a person will not be able to know where Atlanta, Birmingham, or Chattanooga ends. It'll be one big triangle, except for the Talladega Forest, which is protected. So we know the growth is coming. It's all about location and our business climate here in Georgia. But the local communities can set their own objectives, they can establish their plans, and they can make sure that they protect their way of life. We have done good work in Paulding and good work in Dallas. I think it could be better. But like you said, I think I'm uniquely qualified to help those other local governments in Harrelson and Polk counties to plan and to move forward as they want to grow, and particularly in Polk and Harrelson to protect their agricultural interests, which are so vital to the state.
Okay. Let's, before we go to that break, I want to run through some issues. First one, of course, again, on your website and on your campaign literature, seemingly you're very pro-Second Amendment.
I am. I believe fully in the wording of the Second Amendment, that it shall not be infringed, and I also support constitutional carry.
Okay. Georgia's known as having some of the most pro-gun laws in America currently. So you'll be fighting for those.
I'll fight to preserve them. And, you know, we're under attack all the time. And so those are at issue in a lot of races right now across the state.
Our guest this morning is Boyd Austin, State Senate District 31 candidate. Any questions? We're on Facebook Live, News Talk 1330, and we'll be back with more after this.
For more than 70 years, you have turned to Tanner Health System for your healthcare needs. As our community moves forward, Tanner is here for you. Strong, safe, and close to home. Routine medical appointments, urgent elective surgeries, and imaging are back on the calendar at our hospitals and Tanner Medical Group practices. With the safety of our patients, staff, and community always our top priority. Learn more at Tanner.org. Hashtag We Are Tanner Strong. That's Tanner.org. Hashtag We Are Tanner Strong.
At Oak Mountain Academy, our academic excellence shines through innovation and a personalized educational experience. Our pre-K 3 through 12th grade environment offers a family-oriented atmosphere. We are an independent school with faith-based values and an academy honor code. Our academic standards prepare our students for college and beyond. I'm Patrick Duran, headmaster, inviting you to visit us on the mountain or at oakmountain.us. Come see how our warriors are creating legacies.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Reddick, your host, on a Monday morning. It's the way I wake up. for the week. Otherwise, I'm dead asleep. Boyd Austin, candidate for State Senate District 31. Let's run through some questions and try to get as much information as we can. Obviously, Georgia had the heartbeat bill. I think a federal judge has stalled it out. Were you supportive of it?
I absolutely support the heartbeat bill and hate that an Obama judge threw it out.
Do you support personhood, which is basically saying life in the womb, no matter how it was conceived, is a human being with all the unalienable rights guaranteed among them of life?
I absolutely do. I believe fully in what my Bible teaches me is that God knew us when we were knit together in the womb, and I believe life is His prerogative. And it's not just life at conception, it's at the end of life issues as well that so many have taken for granted and try to do away with.
And that's going to be on the horizon, euthanasia-type legislation right. that are in others, mm-hmm. West Coast states currently. Immigration, it seems like that's kind of not as much of a issue as previously, but still, it's still there.
Right.
What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I believe we have to stop illegal immigration. I have been a strong supporter of the president from the day he came down the escalator. I believe that we need to finish the wall. I was for building the wall, and he's made great progress there. My opponent is a member, or a founding member of GALEO, the Georgia Association of Latino Elected Officials, that advocated with Jane Fonda for open borders policies and amnesty, and I absolutely stand against that.
Why?
I don't think it's good for this country. I think immigration without regulation is invasion, and people are coming here and vying for our services, and they're not paying the taxes. They're not the legal citizens that are entitled to it, and I absolutely believe there has to be a means, a legal means for citizenship.
Are we doing a good job of assimilating immigrants into becoming Americans?
I think we can do much better. I think that we need to be Americans first, and we need to teach our history and let people understand that that's who we are, that it's not just take what you want and have it have as you will.
You mentioned the president. I understand you've heard him speak two or three times. What was your impression?
I think he is very much the man you see on TV. He is forceful. He wants things done. He doesn't sit around and wait for public opinion. He has a very strong love for this country, and he wants to push this country forward, make America and keep America great. And, of course, the media and the left wing despise him and try to thwart him at everything he does. But he has accomplished so much more in just these first 4 years as president than most ever accomplish in 8 years or certainly in their lifetime in politics.
You think he'll be reelected?
I think he will be. I think there's a lot of fake news. I know that's a term that a lot of people don't like, but I think that the polls may be misreported. I know how tough it is to get good answers on those, and I think the media certainly has a way of pushing its agenda.
National media, of
national
course.
Media,
yeah,
right.
So you've been on the campaign trail. It's gotten a little contentious. What's your thoughts about the current your current race?
It has gotten a lot contentious, and I have raised over 75% of my money for this campaign has come from within the district and from people who live here, work here, or own a business here. 94% of my opponent's money has come from outside the district. There are special interest and dark money PACs that are pouring tens of thousands, if not $100,000 or more, into this race. I want the people of the 31st District to stand up to Atlanta and Washington and say, this Senate seat is not for sale. It's not somebody's personal playground that they can do with it what they want. We need a leader that will represent us. And I think that's one of the defining issues in this race is who's funding and what do they expect when they give that kind of money in a local race.
Is that part of what you're hearing on the campaign trail from the voters?
I think people are generally disgusted with everything they see. You know, in a pandemic, we haven't had the opportunity to meet people face to face or to have big events. So they've been inundated with TV ads and with mailers and things of that nature. And I think they've kind of gotten tired of it. I understand that today or yesterday, a TV buy was made that's a big attack piece. And I think we ought to just run on our own merits and run on our records rather than trying to diminish it or make somebody in Atlanta give them more authority in running this state Senate district.
You mentioned the pandemic, and in the pandemic, churches have, a lot of them have basically, some closed down completely, others, you know, limited worship services, et cetera. But you've always been a proponent of religious liberty, and I understand that you fought as mayor for the nativity scene to be.
That's right.
Remain. Tell us what your current thoughts are on religious liberty, religious liberty in our country currently.
Well, I think our Judeo-Christian values are under attack. As you said, in 2007, a left-wing liberal organization from California came here or called here and told us we had to remove our nativity scene. And I told them no. They said they're going to sue. I said, well, you won't be the first and certainly won't be the last, so you can go ahead and sue, but we're going to defend it. And that's the kind of bully tactics that these organizations take. And that's how they've been able to take prayer out of our graduation ceremonies and our high school football games. Any kind of display in this country is by trying to intimidate local small systems that are afraid of the cost of a lawsuit. I very much support the right of people to gather in their churches if they so choose. I would tell them to protect themselves and do the social distancing. But if they want to gather in person for worship, that is absolutely their right. It's not anything that's any different than a protest in downtown Atlanta or some other gathering of people other than churches.
Sometimes all it takes is a fax machine and an email and two people in your organization, and you know you can threaten anybody.
Right.
Like. All right. Well, that's very interesting. Tell us more about how you would vote. What's your criteria for voting yay or nay on a piece of legislation?
Well, first of all, I'm going to read it and know what it says. And a lot of times that doesn't happen. I would look to see what does it do to the average Georgian? Who does it affect? And, you know, there are a lot of special interest bills that are there. The money that's being poured into this campaign from outside the district certainly has strings attached to it, and they're not tied to me. So I would be able to be an independent voice and make a decision based on what's right for the people of this district first and the people of Georgia as a whole following that.
Okay, let's pretend you're going door to door and you come on, you come up on my house. Grass needs cutting. You walk up to the door, knock on it. I'm, you know, half asleep, hand-shaved. I look terrible. It's gross. But you've got about 60 seconds to tell me why I should vote for Boyd Austin. So give me your elevator pitch, your campaign pitch.
I'm Boyd Austin. I'm your neighbor here in the 31st District. I've operated a small business. I've been a businessman all my life. I've also been the part-time mayor of Dallas and had great success there. I want to represent you. I want to take my values as a community leader and a civic leader and transpose those to the Capitol in Atlanta. I want to be an independent voice for the district, and I want to provide assistance to our local leaders as we move forward together. And I'd appreciate your vote and support on August the 11th.
Boyd Austin, candidate for State Senate District 31. The website is BoydAustinSenate.com.
That's right.
And you're on Facebook also.
That's right.
Boyd, thank you for coming in, sir. And Election Day is next Tuesday, August 11th, correct?
1 week from tomorrow.
1 week from tomorrow.
Early voting continues this week, too, all the way through Friday.
And I want to thank you for listening. I'm Steve Graddick. We thank our sponsors, Oak Mountain Academy and Tanner Health System. Go out and make it a great day. You're in tune to WLBB Carrollton.